T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Virginia Secretary for Public Safety, Secretary Brian Moran. Secretary, good to talk to you, my man. How you doing?
Good morning, Gary. It is Friday, Groundhog Day. We have some good news. I think the budget that was revealed yesterday in terms of some of the revenue numbers for the state are not as bad as originally anticipated, though a lot of caution around those numbers because, as you know, COVID crisis continues to be with us until there's a vaccine, which we don't know when we'll be here. I mean, those numbers are pretty volatile. But I thought it was, you know, what was originally expected to be as much as $1 billion in revenue shortfall.
Was what, like $236 million or something like that?
Yeah, significantly less. But, sales are still down. We just read the news this morning. Additional stores over at the Stony Point Fashion Mall are closing. Brooks Brothers, bankruptcy. So large retailers are still struggling significantly.
And in fairness, and let's be fair, Stony Point was struggling as a whole thing before coronavirus ever hit, right?
Yeah, I got a couple of some of my favorite stores over there. I don't understand that, but it's an outdoor mall. Short Pump continues to do well, though. I think the Nordstrom's close over at Short Pump. So NASDAQ is doing very well. Amazon, if you purchased Amazon stock several months ago, you're probably feeling pretty good right now.
Okay, so over and above the economic news, how you guys feeling about things?
We're feeling pretty good, but really cautiously optimistic about it, Gary. I mean, our numbers still are very good. I mean, if you look at yesterday's numbers, we were about 600 cases, just over 600 cases, but 15,000 tests. So our test numbers really have improved. And so, when you do the little simple math, and the positivity rate was 3.9%. So, anything less than 10%, I've been saying it all along, anything less than 10% is the target. So, a 4% positivity rate is really good. And I'll also say today, the numbers are going to uptick because we know what's happening with our neighboring states, North Carolina, South Carolina. Numbers are going up, and so we really need to be vigilant. But the total number of tests are 846,000. That's 10% of the entire Virginia population has been tested. That's a pretty significant number. So we have a lot of data in terms of the testing, and so that's a significant milestone as well. Testing, contact tracing to monitor contacts going to continue to be extremely important and vital as we get through this emergency.
You guys updated the guidance for school systems. How much you guys working with the local, while the local school systems are going to make their own decisions, how much you guys working with them on a back to school plan?
Yeah, that's clearly a motivation here that we all want kids back in school. That the necessity of kids being back in school and getting in person instruction, I don't think anybody can disagree with. So we're working, providing the guidance to make sure that it's safe. I think that's ultimately what we want to just make sure that it is safe for obviously the students, but then also the teachers, the administrators, and the parents when the kids return home. And so That's a real struggle, I think. But everybody's motivated, so I really see this as an opportunity to, you know, let's roll up our sleeves, figure out how we can get this done. And so the state's working very closely, and I know the superintendents of each of our school districts are really working diligently. And a lot, I've been hearing your reports about Richmond just last night, and in conjunction with the local health district. So it's a joint decision. So because you got to have buy-in, you know, this can't just come from the top. This really has to have buy-in from the community, because kids are going to have to get back to school, and the parents are going to have to be a real big part of that decision. And you know, whether it's a hybrid or more in-person instruction, I thought it was a very apt approach that they're trying to shoot a moving target. It is. What is it? July 10th. We're looking to see, you know, in late August what the scenario is going to look like. And from day to day, we monitor these numbers closely. And right now, we're good. But, you know, if we're in a Florida situation in a month, then, you know, all bets are off, and kids, you know, putting kids in the classroom and teachers and administrators. So it's a real challenge. And I just want to thank everyone for their patience and diligence. I think as long as we all work together on this, we can come up with a solution. And the education of our kids is so vitally important. I mean, they've lost so much in school instruction as it is since March. I mean, can we really go another fall without education? I mean, that's a real calamity. So
it's interesting. The doctors, a couple of doctors told the Richmond School Board yesterday that the numbers among children getting it are so low that the focus needs to be on adult-to-adult transmission within the schools. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's why, because all this data we have now, we have so many tests both here in Virginia and nation and globally. We can use that data now to make some of those important decisions. So I think that's a really important takeaway. And it's just like, you know, broader, we've always said, you know, we really need to focus on congregate housing, because that's where individuals are more susceptible to community spread. And then you really need to look at your long-term care facilities and nursing homes, because that's where people are elderly and have underlying health conditions. And that's where the fatality numbers can be alarming and tragic. So, yeah, I think with that data, that those are the type of decisions. And then you can really focus and target on those who would be susceptible to spread.
We're talking to Secretary for Public Safety Brian Moran. I'm interested if you had... if you guys have had similar guidance for the state's public colleges and universities, and are you guys involved at all with guidance to help those colleges and universities, in addition to getting students on campus, about extracurricular activities and athletics?
Yeah, well, the athletics. I know, Gary. Gary, when are you going to be able to start talking about college football again? Did you see the Penn State?
I know.
Game? I mean, that's just heartbreaking. And, you know, my son's the starting quarterback at a local high school, and to think we're not going to have a season, I just don't even want to go down that road. Now, have you heard much with respect to a possible spring season?
Let me put it this way, Secretary. I have heard rumblings. There's nothing official, but there has been rumblings of several possibilities, and one of those is moving fall sports, including football, to kind of a sandwich season in between winter and spring, and kind of spreading it out between December and June. Winter, you know, so like the fall season would be, say, February to April.
Yeah. So interesting. Well, I do think, I mean, I would encourage everyone devising and working on plan Bs, because, we need to be flexible and prepared. And if the numbers have increased in August, you know, you don't want to be caught unprepared. And so all of this is about taking the necessary preparations. And so I would encourage a plan B being on the table and ready to implement. But in terms of your question specifically, colleges, yeah, I mean, they're working with the school presidents, and they're all trying to devise. I mean, we're very much in contact. The administration's working. Secretary of Education and others are working very closely. We want to get them back. I think you're going to see a lot of hybrid situations. There's some classes, you know, those large introductory, you know, poli-sci 101 you're going to see online. Some of the smaller classes will be available in person. I think that's how this thing's going to shake out. And, you know, some of the colleges are moving forward pretty aggressively. And, you know, we'll see. And the questions around making sure the students have access to good, you know, good Wi-Fi and broadband is critically important. But and the faculty, you know, the faculty has to be careful as well. And so I think you're going to see hybrid situations at most of our colleges. And again, they're going to be they're going to have to be flexible with respect to athletics. The ACC is talking about just playing within their conferences. Of course, the Ivy League has already canceled. You remember the Ivy League? We talked about this back in March Madness. They were the first to pull out.
You know, and now they're the first to pull out. That cost the University of Richmond one of its football opponents.
We're supposed to play VMI, yeah. I think, out of VMI.
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah, that's the first domino, but it won't be the last. I know the CIAA has now followed suit. That affects Virginia State and Virginia Union. So, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see, I guess, how it all shakes out. Secretary, we always appreciate the time and the visit, and it'll be John talking to you again next Friday. We thank you so much for the time and the insight.
No, Gary, appreciate the opportunity to come on, and you have a safe weekend, and continue to, let's all be vigilant. Masks, social distancing, washing the hands. We'll get through this together.
Okay, Secretary, take care. Enjoy the weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.